ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति। The last topic that we have seen is Vedanta provides material prosperity. Now he talks about the three C's there, the three C's of success we call it. The three C's are concentration, consistency and cooperation. Now concentration and consistency are nothing but intellect controlling the mind, whereas cooperation is intellect controlling the ego. Ego and mind are the two enemies within. Each one of us have these enemies as common in all of us. That's why we say, before you try to conquer the challenges of the world, you need to first conquer the enemies within. The two enemies within are destroying the peace, and the peace is what is compared with the city of Mathura, and the two Rakshasas, mind and ego, are compared with Kamsa and Chanura. Kamsa and Chanura are destroying the city of Mathura. The city of Mathura is our personality, which is peaceful, calm, serene, but it is disturbed by the egocentric desires, the egoistic attitude, mind's instant pleasures, craving, attachment, possessiveness, etc. So therefore, to be able to achieve success and prosperity in life, one needs to have control over these two, the mind and the ego. So when we talk about concentration, concentration is nothing but an intellectual discipline, which is defined as when our mind is supervised by the intellect and focused upon the present without allowing it to slip into the past worries or future anxieties. It's called concentration. So concentration is what? The art of keeping the mind on a present obligation or duty or action, supervised by the intellect without allowing it to slip into the worries of the past and anxiety of the future. That is concentration. And consistency is another very important discipline to achieve success, to achieve material prosperity. And that is, when your intellect keeps all your actions towards the chosen goal, when our intellect keeps all our actions towards the chosen goal, that is called consistency. To be able to achieve success in any field, one needs to be extremely consistent. Without consistency, it's not possible. So mind tends to get attracted to its temptations here and there. But the intellect should say, listen, this is the goal. So direct all your material, physical, emotional, intellectual energies towards that goal. That is called consistency. Again, this is an intellectual discipline. Intellect directs the actions here. In the case of concentration, intellect directing the mind. When it comes to cooperation, cooperation is controlling and directing the ego. And ego is a fake personality. Ego is an assumption that I am separate from the total, not realizing that all of us are interdependent and not separate. So intellect with its knowledge needs to control and direct the ego. When I control my ego and cooperate with others with love, when I identify and function then I draw the cooperation of the others. It is through the identification that I can inspire them. So we say, as a leader, you need to inspire them. How do you inspire? See, there is a chemical called oxytocin. Oxytocin, they call it as love chemical nowadays. Now what happens is, when you do some unselfish action, whoever is witness to that unselfish action, the chemical called oxytocin secretes in both the person who is doing unselfish action as well as the one who is observing the other doing the unselfish action. So for example, if you are waiting for the bus at the bus station and you see a very old person struggling to cross the road, or a blind person struggling to cross the road, you walk up to that person, help that person, unknown person, you just go and try to help them. There are other people watching you. So when you do such an action, in you also the chemical called oxytocin secretes. And even people who are watching you do this, in them and the other person who is getting help from you, in all these people, this chemical oxytocin secretes. It inspires you, you know, it draws you automatically to rise above your selfishness. So when a leader identifies with a larger purpose, larger cause, identifies with his team, with everybody in the organization, he or she rises above the selfishness, self-centeredness, personal motives, automatically draws cooperation from others. Because this individual has sacrificed his or her ego. The moment you rise above your ego, you make the other person also rise above. So I'll give you one very interesting example from Mahabharata. As you know the story, Arjuna's actual father is Indra. And Karna's actual father is Surya Bhagavan. Right? Now, obviously Indra is interested in saving his son Arjuna. And so is Surya, trying to save his son Karna. So Indra comes in disguise as Brahmana and asks for Kavacha and Kundal from Karna. Karna is a great giver. So especially in the morning, every day he prays to his father Surya Bhagavan. And at that time, whoever comes and asks him anything, he'll give. So Indra comes as a Brahmana and asks him for the Kavach and Kundal, you know, with which he is born. And as long as he has that Kavach, he cannot be killed. So therefore, Indra is coming to ask the Kavach and Kundal. Previous night, in the dream, Surya Bhagavan comes in Karna's dream and cautions Karna that tomorrow morning this is going to happen. Indra is going to come asking for Kavach and Kundal. Do not give. He wants to take away your Kavach and Kundal so that Arjuna can kill you. Karna, when Indra comes and asks, he gives the Kavach Kundal and says, I know who you are. Though you have disguised yourself as Brahmana, you are none other than Indra. You have come to take away my Kavach Kundal so that your son can kill me. I know all this very well, but still I'll give you. And he gives it. This inspires Indra. And in return, he gives the thunderbolt, very famous thunderbolt of Indra. He gives that to Karna and says, you hurl it against anybody you want. He has come to take, but that unselfish action of Karna inspired Indra, who had come to take, to give him the most powerful weapon, thunderbolt. So when you rise above your ego, through the knowledge, you understand that it is stupidity. Fake. The moment you question, it cannot stand. See, anything false only will exist as long as you don't question. The moment you question, it cannot stand. Truth will continue to exist. False cannot exist for long. That's why all kinds of superstitions, wrong belief system, all that cannot continue for long. The moment you start asking questions, all that will go away. So, you don't question, so it continues. The moment you question, it will drop. It has to go. When the sun rises, snow cannot exist anymore. It will automatically melt. Similarly, when you gain this knowledge of Vedanta and begin to understand the false personality of this ego, the body, mind, intellect complex, you understand the difference between real, unreal and all that. You automatically, the knowledge will uplift you beyond your body, beyond your mind, beyond your intellect. In the Ashtavakra Gita, beautifully sage Ashtavakra says, a self-realized Mahatma looks at his or her own body as if it is somebody else's body. As if you look at a third person. You look at your own body as a witness. All the actions, perceptions, emotions and thoughts. You just remain as an observer. You become objective. You develop that ability to rise above the personal motives and functions. The moment you do that, then you are cooperating and you draw cooperation from others. So, if you have these three, concentration, consistency and cooperation, you will be successful. You will achieve material prosperity. That's what he was discussing. For which you need to strengthen the intellect, and then once you develop the intellect and control the mind and ego, then you'll be able to achieve success. This much we have studied. Now let's get on to the topic, eternal bliss within. The last topic of this chapter. Please continue. Eternal bliss within. Shweta.
Eternal bliss within. Your real self is the abode of eternal peace and happiness. Every human being tirelessly seeks it in the world through action, emotion, and knowledge. The search for bliss goes on. None has ever found it. Only the rare one who has directed this search within has reached that state of supreme bliss. He finds it through realization of the self within.
So, why do we say that everybody must study the subject of Vedanta? Because the universal search of any being anywhere in the world is only for happiness. Everyone is trying to find that happiness, not knowing exactly what is the residential address of happiness. This is the stupidity. Everyone wants happiness. Like in Vedanta we say, either through Dukkha Nivritti or through Sukha Prapti, what you are searching for is only happiness. Then you should know where does it reside. So Vedanta declared, it resides within you. It is your original self. It is your true nature. You cannot find it outside. Your real self is the abode of eternal peace and happiness. It is not there in the outside world. Not knowing this, every human being tirelessly seeking it in the world through actions, emotions and knowledge. Through the body, through the mind, through the intellect, we try to contact the world and then gain the objects of this world and hope by gaining the objects of this world, we get that happiness. So therefore, he says, it will never succeed. So he says, the search for bliss goes on. None has ever found it. Nobody has found it. Only the rare one who has directed his search inward has reached the state of supreme bliss. So as long as we are searching for it externally, you will not find it. Because it's not there. How will you find it? You lost something in the room and you try to search for it in the outside hall. How will you find it? You got to search where you lost it. So, you are searching for happiness where it is not there. So therefore you continue. You never succeed. So he says, none has ever found it. Only the rare one has directed his search within, because some point in time they paused and questioned, I've been running after the external world and I've accumulated a lot of material stuff, physical stuff, emotional relationships, intellectual delights, everything I've achieved compared to many years ago, I have a lot more today. And in the hope of what was I collecting all this? The hope of gaining happiness. But I never paused and pondered as to whether I found that happiness, what I wanted. So the moment you stop and question, then you understand. And once again, I'm going on accumulating and all that, but I've never found that happiness. My search is still continuing. I thought that, you know, if I get this, I'll be happy. And I worked for it and I got it also. After getting it, I should have stopped my search, no? No, it is not. I'm still continuing. So that's what he said. Rare person. Rare person because rarely a person questions. Especially everybody is doing it. People around you are doing it. So why would you question it? Everybody is doing it. It must be correct. And I do not have the guts to do something different. Everybody does the same thing. So I also do. Doesn't matter. You know, we all come under that peer pressure. It's not only children who come under peer pressure. We all come under peer pressure. We must have that handbag. And I must have different handbags. Because I cannot be seen as a person repeating the same handbag for every party. And I couldn't care less to find out as to how they have made those handbags. Just peer pressure. The status symbol I must carry. Doesn't matter how many animals are being destroyed for it. I must wear those saris. I don't care whether silkworms are being put in boiling water and toxic. I don't care all that. I need to wear that silk cloth. I need to wear the silk tie. Because it's the status symbol. Everybody does it. So it takes a rare person to question and then live life according to one's own convictions and not on others' dictations. Majority falls for dictation. Whatever everybody does, I will do. You know, you do not have the guts to do the right thing. We only want to do the common thing. Because we do not want any unnecessary problems, yara. These fellows will come and talk for 1 hour and then we won't do this thing. Who's to face the, you know, people around? So therefore, I rather continue. So he says, rare person. Only the rare one who has directed his search inward. To stop and think. Same routine thing I'm doing every day. Morning, noon and night. Because everybody around me are also doing the same thing. Isn't it? See, there's a very interesting story of a sage who was looked upon as a mad person by the people in that village. What he used to do apparently is, every day morning he'll wake up and religiously he will go to the mountain in that particular village and then carry a huge boulder, somehow struggling, rolling it up the mountain, he'll carry it. And then he reached the peak with the rock, the huge boulder. Having reached that huge peak, from there he'll kick it down and he'll see that rolling and laugh. Ha 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 ha. Every day you'll do this. You'll say, mad fellow, pagala. What he is trying to tell is, we are doing the same thing. Every day. So much of our energy is used to do the uphill thing. Uphill in the sense, easily you will find happiness within. But you'll go against. You'll try to find it elsewhere. And that's the uphill task. Then, what are you doing by that? You're wasting, draining your energy, which is symbolized by him pushing the rock dump, you know, that boulder dump. So people were calling him mad fellow, but he is trying to tell you are mad. Doing the same thing. Not tired at all. Absolutely stupid. So he says, rare one has directed. The Bhagavad Gita, sorry, in the Upanishad he says, no? Bhuteshu bhuteshu vichitya dhiraha. Very rare. Chitra dhira. So a rare person. All the people. How many people? Even in our own class, we have 10 or 15 people enrolled. But never in any class we will have 10 or 15. Very rare. Very busy. We are very busy. That's fine. But we need to, at some point in time, we need to ask question. What is it that I am really searching for? And what is it that I am doing different from before? So when you question, then you become that rare person. He says, that person has directed the search inward. And as a result, he or she has reached the state of supreme bliss. He finds it through realization of the self within. That's why Arthur Schopenhauer's quotation is very often quoted. Arthur Schopenhauer, the Western philosopher, German philosopher, he says, it is difficult to find happiness within, but it is impossible to find it elsewhere. So, if trying our best to find it elsewhere, we won't find it. The moment we turn inward, we can find it. So the bliss is within. It is our original state. As long as we are trying to find it outside, we will not get it. Continue.
History reveals nations conquering nations. The world has been indulging in hot and cold warfare. What purpose do these conflicts serve? What do they seek? What is their ultimate goal? You would find that all external conflicts are directed only to find internal happiness. People believe that outer conquests can bring about inner peace and bliss. It is a false belief arising out of spiritual ignorance. India has passed that stage of spiritual infancy long, long ago. The ancient rishis, sages understood the hollowness of such pursuits. They had discovered that happiness dwells not in the outward charms of materiality. Real happiness abides in the core of your personality. The native home of happiness is your own self. You discover it through self-realization.
When you look at history, you will see that every nation is trying to expand. They want a little more land. They're trying to conquer, you know, the neighboring countries so that they can get more land. We can get their minerals. We can get their assets. We want more, more, more. Everybody is doing it. It's not just individuals. Collectively, the nations, everybody is doing the same. And some have succeeded, some have not succeeded in annexing other countries. And whoever has succeeded also, have they found their happiness? They will not rest content. After getting the whole universe, they will still want to see if they can conquer some other universe. Even if you have conquered the earth, then you will want other planets. Conquer this universe, then you want to conquer the other universe. This pursuit never ends. It continues because you are trying to get the happiness or bliss which is far subtler through the conquest of gross stuff. It's not possible. Not possible. You cannot buy love, you know. Love is far subtler. It is not possible to buy love by paying money. It's not possible. So therefore, through the conquest which of the grosser stuff, you cannot get these subtler joys, subtler aspects. That's what he's trying to say. Nobody has understood. How is it possible that I'll put in efforts which are at the gross level and I will fetch the results at the gross level and then try to experience something which is subtle? That's not possible. So if I want to experience something subtle, then I have to operate at the subtle level. This much buddhi at least we should have. Otherwise it's not possible. That's why, you know, you can buy employees, but you can't buy their loyalty. Many organizations, when they want us to come and give a talk or anything, one of the things they say is, you know, that you have to put in that sense of ownership in them. We want to build the sense of ownership. How do you get that sense of ownership? Is because you keep giving incentives, will they get the sense of ownership? In fact, the fellows who give too much incentives, they are more worried. Because how much ever you give, now mind get neutralized to that. Then they just want a little more. So if some other company gives them a little more, they'll go there. So the fear is in. So then, how do you get that sense of ownership? How do you do that? You know, in our academy, I think except Mamtaji, nobody has come to our ashram. You've been attending our classes for the last, you know, now 10 or 15 years now, we've been doing these classes. 11 years. At least once you should visit the place. You know, when many, many years ago, before even academy was started, Swamiji used to go there. There was a small house where he used to go from Bombay and write books, Vedanta treatise and all that was written there. So that house belonged to somebody who was attending Swamiji's class. And so Swamiji used to go there and live there for a few days and write the book. So in that house, there used to be one gentleman who was working. His name was Keshav. He's no more now. So Keshavji was working there and he was serving Swamiji. He used to make lunch and all that. And when Swamiji started the ashram, Keshavji was employed. That house was donated to the ashram and then nearby lands and everything we bought and then ashram was started. So Keshavji was employed in the ashram. Few years later, we came to know that, you know, remember, please understand, in villages, very difficult to get jobs which are paying you regularly without any problem. So they were getting some basic salary which an ashram can afford. And somebody, another Ayurveda center there, they had allured these people to come and work for them, paying them 3 or 4 times the salary our ashram is giving. And Keshav and other few people, they refused. They didn't go. They didn't tell us also. We didn't know about it. We didn't know about it. Through somebody, Swamiji came to know about it. And much later, slowly, you know, we could raise some funds. Academy has built houses for them. It is not, what do you call, quarters. But we have not given them quarters. We have built houses. We bought the land in their name. And the houses are built for them. And papers, document, everything is given to them. They are under no obligation to continue working with us. It's up to them. Whether to work or not to work. But there nobody wants to leave. How does this happen? How do you get such a sense of ownership? Sense of belonging? Is it only by paying salary? Is it possible? It's only possible through love and identification. So I'm only giving these examples, not to talk about ourselves, but from this we learn something, right? So, why I'm giving these examples is, it is not possible to purchase subtler aspects through grosser transactions. Through gross transaction, we are trying to get the subtler aspects of life. Not possible. And happiness, bliss is the subtlest It is not residing at the level of the body or the mind or the intellect. It is only present in the core of our personality, which is the real self, the divinity. So this again, through the experiences that we have had till now, if we pause and question, we can understand. You know, I put in physical effort and I get an object and I get some satisfaction when I get that object. Some kind of a pleasure, temporary happiness. And I'm deceiving myself to believe that that is happiness. That is where the happiness resides. Isn't it? So I need to pause and question and understand what is happening. See, if I'm hungry, right? I'm terribly hungry. I'm ravenous. Now I need food. I've not eaten for 3 days. And you come and give me $1,000. Now what will I do with $1,000? $1,000, maybe 80,000 rupees. But I have to go to the exchange. And that too, let's say at night. I don't know where to go and find an exchange which will work for 24 hours. And then exchange it and then get the Indian rupees and then go and buy the food. I say, yeah, I don't want your dollars, just need some food. Give me a burger, something, simple food, you give me something. Got right? I want that, that's all. What I want is happiness. But what I'm getting is the object. So, if I want food, you give me dollars, it won't work. Isn't it? Now, why are we discussing this example? What do I want? I want happiness. Isn't it? I'm trying to get that through a particular desire. My desire is for food. And you're giving the object, which is something else. So, only when I fulfill my desire, I get the happiness. So, I want food and you give me food. My desire is fulfilled, I find happiness. So, here is where we are getting tricked. We need to therefore carefully analyze this. Firstly, for happiness, there has to be desire. Firstly, for happiness, there has to be desire. And I must be given the object of my desire, not some other object which may be much more expensive. Doesn't matter. My object of desire needs to be given to me. When I contact the object of my desire, I'm finding happiness. Then I'm thinking, because my desire is fulfilled through that object. So I'm thinking that the joy, happiness came from that object. Isn't it? Now the question is, if that object gave you happiness, it should give happiness to everybody who contacts it. The fellow doesn't have desire for it, you give that object, he will not be happy. You give him the object of his desire, he will be happy. So then, you understand that it is not in the object. If it was in the object, then everybody must get it, irrespective of their desire. So the condition is what? Desire for the object and the particular object should be given. So when you analyze this, then you understand that before the condition of desire came in, I was happy. In my mind, when I was happy, suddenly this desire popped up and made me agitated. Without which I cannot be happy. So now, once I've got the desire, I need to work for that object. And I don't know whether I'll get that object. That will give me agitation. Then I somehow work and get the object. I find the satisfaction. What is happening is, did the object bring joy or did the object remove the agitations created by the desire for that object? The mind which is peaceful, in the peaceful mind, the desire pops up, which means agitation started. And then I get the object of my desire, agitation subsides, and again find happiness. So now here is where we need to be careful. Did the object give me the joy, happiness, or the removal of desire brought me the joy? Anybody? Did the object bring me happiness, or the removal of desire temporarily, maybe? Did that bring joy, happiness, or the object brought happiness? Anybody? Three of you are there. Sanjay ji, Shweta, Anu.
Removal of desire.
So, the removal of desire made you experience the happiness from within. Isn't it? But we foolishly think the happiness came from the object. And therefore, we run after it again, 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 again. This is the problem. So that's what he's saying. Rishis, sages understood the hollowness of such pursuits, running after and trying to accumulate. See, it will serve certain purpose. What purpose? When I'm hungry, I need food. For that, I need money. It will take care. But beyond that, it cannot give me happiness. I do not want to wrongly connect the cause and effect. So, they have discovered that happiness dwells not in the outward charms of materiality. Real happiness abides in the core of your personality. The native home of happiness is your own self. You discover it through self-realization. There is no other way. If there is any other way, please try. Vedanta says there is no other way. The only way is by realizing your self within. Continue.
External pursuit of happiness is futile. It is like trying to grasp the head of your shadow. The more you try, the more it recedes. You can never succeed that way. Instead, let your hand hold your head. The shadow is caught. The source of true happiness lies within you. You need not run after shadows. Instead, seek your inner self. You will reach the fountainhead of bliss.
See, in other words, what he's trying to say is, do not follow the herd. The herd is trying to catch the shadow. And they will never succeed. The more they run, the more it recedes. So they'll never succeed. Instead, if you understand that it is the shadow and they're trying to catch the shadow, you will stop and start touching your head. The moment you touch your head, you catch the head of the shadow automatically. So instead of trying to conquer the world, you conquer the self. That's what he's saying. If you put in efforts to conquer the self, you will achieve that happiness which everybody is trying to find. But not knowing this, people still try to chase the shadow. They get some kind of entertainment in that. So that's what he says. The more you try, the more it recedes. You can never succeed that way. Instead, let your hand hold your head. The shadow is gone. The source of true happiness lies within you. So you should fix the goal of Atma, the self. And it may be like Everest, you know, very high peak. So you cannot directly set the goal of Everest. What do? You set the other peaks as your goal initially. And then try to trek. And once you've reached certain peaks, then you pitch up another one. Pitch up another one. And finally, you will keep the goal as Everest. Similarly, understand that the ultimate goal is achieving the self. So, achieving the self means what? Self is beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intellect. So, I need to go beyond the material world, beyond the body, beyond the mind, beyond the intellect. So what do? I fix a relatively higher goal, relatively higher peak. You know, I don't fix a lower goal, I fix something higher. Just kaav piyo, maja karo cannot be my goal. Is that all what I'm looking for? Just survive. Somehow I must survive. Enjoy. You know. That level is a very low level of existence. From there I pitch up a little higher goal. Then once I reach that peak, then higher. Then higher. And finally, the goal of self. And what we need to do is, we should just fix a goal so high and forget about whether we reach it or not. Just walk towards it. That's how we should live. See, I ask you a simple question. If you have a simple target and you achieve that target and you pitch up always simple targets and go on achieving that and lead a life like that, is that better? Or you fix a superior goal, higher goal, and then work hard to achieve that, even though you may fail, which is better? You must fix a higher goal and work towards it. Even if you don't achieve it, it's okay. You're at least in the path. It's, the pleasure is in the journey, not in the achievement. See, when we say higher and lower here, we are talking about the goal at the material level and the goal at the higher level, spiritual level. Selfish, unselfish. The fact that you have risen above your personal body, mind, intellect complex and pitch a goal little superior, that self-forgetfulness brings that joy. That very pursuit gives you that happiness. And you keep walking, you may achieve, you may not achieve. You know, that's how a human being should live. Fix a goal which is beyond selfish self-centeredness and then work towards it. If you achieve it, fine. If you don't achieve it, also it's fine. Because you are on the path. You will continue. So that's why he says, catch the head, the shadow's head is caught. Shadow's caught, basically. So you got to set the higher goal in life, the highest is selfless, and then work for it. That is how a person should live. That's what Vedanta talks about. That's why we say if you study Vedanta, you get a purpose in life. You get a direction in life. In fact, the most important aspect of life is to get the direction. All our life we keep on collecting stuff. Degrees we collect, PhDs we collect, we collect a lot of certificates, we collect a lot of accolades, we collect everything. After that, ab kya karna? Nothing. Chalo, let me start buying more houses in different cities. Let me start buying more and more vehicles. Let me start getting into more and more club memberships. Because I don't know what the direction is. And then I get bored. With it, I'm not happy. Without it also, I'm not happy. I don't know what to do. Boredom ho jata hai. So, why this is happening? Because we are not really understanding how to live. The Vedanta therefore says, first catch your head. Meaning, fix that goal. Fix self-realization as your goal. And work towards it. And when you get closer and closer to that, you are getting closer and closer to that happiness or shadow that you have really been looking for in the past. Continue.
If this be true, then why do people still chase material objects? Why are people fascinated by the world? Can all go wrong? No. There is a reason for this, their external pursuit. The sense objects of the world give them instant pleasures. They pursue the external world for these immediate joys. Think carefully. These pleasures are fleeting, not enduring. They disappear as fast as they appear. The wise do not indulge in such transient pleasures, while the ignorant are lost in them.
He is saying here, if this be true, all this discussion is true, then why are still people running? What is the reason? If there is no happiness at all in the external world, why are they running? It is not that the happiness is not there. The happiness is not there in the sense, the true happiness is not there. It gives instant pleasure. It's the reflected happiness of the self. See, I explained to you, no? There is happiness, but desire comes, and happiness is lost. When you give the object of the desire subsides temporarily. You found that happiness, you're happy. But the desire doesn't get subsided for long. Again, the desire comes. So what experience you are going through is only temporary happiness. So when a person understands this, I am not interested in temporary, passing, fleeting, transient happiness. What I'm looking for is permanent happiness. I'm not looking for temporary happiness. No. Yeah, I remember in 1999 when there was a request for somebody to teach this in Middle East. Swamiji had suggested my name and they said, okay, you send us your passport, we'll send the visa. Now, I didn't have a passport that time. I never thought I'm going outside this country or whatever. I never applied for a passport. And he said, what? You don't even have a passport? You didn't apply? Immediately apply and get it here. And they wanted you immediately, as soon as possible. And I go and apply. They say it'll take 3 months, those days, 3 months. Because the police has to come and verify. And that itself will take 1 month, 1.5 months, and then they will send the report. And he said, nothing doing, you go sit there and get it. I was going on every day to the passport office, following up. When I met the passport officer, he said, I understand your requirement. You ask them to send me a mail that you need to come there. They need you there as soon as possible. Then I will sanction you passport for 1 year valid, with 1 year validity. And you can go. In the meantime, the police will come and do the verification and then send us a report. Then we will inform you through the embassy there. Then you can apply there and get a 10-year passport. When I told Swami, he said, nothing doing. Don't go for all this 1 year passport and all. Get that 10 years passport here itself, but as soon as possible. So I had to follow up with the police people to come and all kinds of things I did, and I got the passport and I went. What I'm trying to say is, if you understand why I'm giving this example is, you will never settle for these temporary arrangements. You know that this life is temporary, but while you are in this sojourn, which is temporary, you should try to achieve that which is permanent. Not compromise with temporary arrangements. So that's, therefore, he says, all this is all instant pleasure. That's why we run. And also another thing is, you got to set the goal, work, and then Patanai come, 11 years we are studying. We haven't got that clarity yet. That's all. Whereas this gives instant joy, instant pleasure. Here I have to get up early in the morning, I have to study, reflect, understand, develop vairagya. I just contact the object, immediately I get joy. Instant pleasure. So let me run after instant pleasure. See, there is a joy we get by working and getting the object. Other is, this desire is agitating me. If I want to find the temporary happiness, I need to work, fulfill the desire and get that happiness. Other method is simply have 2-3 glasses of alcohol. Let the mind go to sleep. And I will be in happiness. But when I wake up again the desire will come. So what do I do? Again drink. Again go to sleep. Again drink, again go to sleep. Isn't it? There are tamasic people doing this. Rajasic people do work hard, find that happiness, but it is temporary. What will the Sattvic person do? What we are discussing. Set that goal of self-realization. Rise above the body, mind, intellect through the knowledge, through karma, bhakti, jnana. Then achieve the self and achieve their happiness. So we have all these three options. Tamasic, Rajasic, Sattvic. If you are wise, you will choose Sattvic. Otherwise, Rajasic. If you are worse, then you will choose Tamasic. So therefore, you say all these people are going for immediate joys. Shortcut. Instant pleasure. Nobody wants to pay the price. They want it. That's it. Especially nowadays. Today the world is what? I enjoy now and pay later. Isn't it? The credit card system is that only, no? I swipe the card and then I get the object. What month I pay? So, but also not many people want to pay. Everybody wants to have a free meal. This is a tamasic mentality. Or enjoy now, pay later. Nobody has time to wait, earn, enjoy. Enjoy, then I will pay. So this is the mentality. So he says, wise do not indulge in such transient pleasures, while the ignorant are lost in them. We need to gain this knowledge and lead our life. Continue.
Here is a simple experiment. Hold a candy in one hand and a wad of currency notes in the other. Offer them to an infant to pick one of the two. The infant reaches for the candy. It knows only the immediate pleasure of the candy. Now, if the same were offered to you, what would you pick? What really makes the difference? The infant is ignorant. You are equipped with knowledge. So is it with the world. People in their ignorance pick candies in the world and deprive themselves of the bliss of the self within.
See, this is a very simple example, but it conveys a very, very deep thought. If you have got the knowledge, you will not run after instant pleasures. You know, you will sit and do the necessary tapas. The instant, the pleasure starts seeking you. If you don't do that, then you will seek instant pleasures. And after some time, you lose that also. Without it, you will not be happy. With it also, you are not happy. You don't know what to do. You continue. You lead a life of boredom. And to kill your boredom, you do all kinds of nonsense. So a wise person never trades his energy for the instant pleasures. Energy means any energy. Material, physical, emotional, intellectual energy for instant pleasures. No way. You know, the moment, it's like compound interest. You know, if you understand the compound interest thing, you will not want to anything else. When things get compounded, it comes in unbelievable proportion. You just continue doing your tapas towards that goal. And everything comes around you. But instead, immediately you start dissipating your energy for paltry pleasures. You won't achieve something great. As simple as that. So that's what he's saying. Wise fellow will wait. Unwise fellow will go for the candy. You know? Don't go for the candy. Go for the currency notes. But you must know. Child doesn't know. Child only knows the candy. Child doesn't know what is this currency note and all that. You give a 5-star chocolate and, you know, $50 note, child will go for 5-star chocolate, not $50 note. You can buy many more 5-star chocolates with $50. Child doesn't understand. This is the problem. In every field it's like this. Nobody really wants to, even in schools and colleges, children, instant pleasures. Because the, you know, the gossiping, the distractions give them instant pleasure. Whereas one or two fellows who sit and study, put in the effort, They go to certain positions and then everything comes to them. You've got to deserve. But for that you need to wait. You need to put in effort. Nobody understands this. Only a wise person understands and develops. Continue.
This lasting happiness, this enduring bliss lies not in outward splendor and grandeur, not in riches, but in your own self. You must gain the knowledge of your inner self, the living knowledge of the reality through the spiritual laws of life. You will have to approach it as university students pursue their studies. Take up each idea, reflect upon it, make it your own. Apply this knowledge in your life. Thus, through knowledge and application, discover the primeval source of happiness within you.
So, this, instead of going for this instant pleasures, go towards the permanent bliss through higher knowledge. You must gain the knowledge of your inner self, the living knowledge of reality through the spiritual laws of life. So you acquaint yourself of these laws, how they function, understand that, and then lead your life as per them, experience the real bliss. So that's why he says, reflect after having studied, reflect, take up each idea, reflect upon it, make it your own. We talk about Shravana, Manana, Vividhyasa. Constantly, repeatedly contacting the knowledge, reflecting, questioning, understanding, repeatedly, then establishing yourself in that knowledge. Thus, through knowledge and application, discover the primeval source of happiness within you. So, through the knowledge and application. So, early hours of the day, gain the knowledge, reflect, understand, then apply it throughout the day, make it your own. Then slowly you will go towards the self within. Then you will start experiencing superior joy, far superior joy and contentment and bliss compared to the instant pleasure that comes through the other things. Those people don't understand vichara. Because they, for them, he doesn't have it. He doesn't have any material wealth. He doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. But what they don't understand is you are experiencing a far superior contentment or joy. So, that's all he says. Don't trade your energies for instant pleasures. Conserve them and direct them towards the higher. Through knowledge and application, discover the primeval source of happiness, which is the self within, the happiness within you. Let's conclude. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti 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 Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriyerva Udhyatmanava Prakrute Swabhava Karomi Adhya Sakalam Parasmai Narayanayeti Samarpayami. Happy Diwali to all of you. We'll meet next week. Before that, we have concluded chapter 1. So what I would want you to do is,